just outside our back door are four special logs that are not destined for the campfire. They have been especially inoculated to produce mushrooms for our table. This week, we're talking to Matt Ratliff from Fort Ripley. He and his wife, Christy, have a booming mushroom business called Ready to Fruit.
Actually, we've known each other since we were about 16, 17. Kind of a fun story. I actually used to be really good friends with her cousin, and hanging out with him one summer between junior, senior year. So yeah, I just turned 17, and we became really good friends. We actually went to prom together with different people in the same group, which is kind of fun. So we have prom pictures together. We just weren't dating each other at the time, and kept running into each other on and off over a number of years. And now, in 2 weeks, it'll be our 10-year anniversary. We have a daughter who's turning 16 just before our anniversary. And then our son is 8. One of each, and we're done.
Matt is originally from the St. Cloud area and graduated from high school in Sauk Rapids. Both of his parents were in retail.
Right. I was, how should I put this? Not the best kid when I was much younger. I was a bit of a troublemaker. So I figured, you know, let's enlist in the Marine Corps. I ended up enlisting at 17, kind of realized I was on the wrong road. That really helped added the discipline I think I was lacking as a youth. So it was a positive experience.
Matt and Christy live in an efficient bermed house just outside of the small town of Fort Ripley. They did not set out to become mushroom farmers. Originally, they just wanted to get back to the land and try living organically.
We had a chance to move out here, and we kind of did the whole Green Acres thing. Neither of us had gardened as kids. Neither of our parents even gardened at all. So even before we moved in, we were still living in St. Cloud and helping finish up the house. We started throwing stuff in at the garden down there, and everything died the first year. I mean, we had no idea what we were doing. So I ended up going back to school for horticulture. Christy went back to school for viticulture. Specialty degree in grape cultivation. So she was actually the first CLC graduate with a degree in viticulture, which was kind of fun. It was about that 9 years ago, shortly before our son was born, we really started getting into the organics and eating healthy and cutting out all the artificial stuff and processed stuff and expecting a second child. That is incredibly expensive to do for a family of four. So that's kind of when we started playing around with it, and we're like, hey, we got enough room, we can grow all of our own food and sell the surplus, you know? It was kind of what we were thinking. But then I had a knee reconstruction. So I was laid up for several months sitting in front of the computer with nothing to do but research. At the time we had our outdoor gardens, but, this room was all, dwarf citrus trees. We had little tangerines, oranges, lemons. And when we put the kids to bed, Christy and I would kind of play around in here and prune it. There was a wall up here at that time. So this kind of turned into our little micro experimental greenhouse.
It's amazing how life can twist and turn. For Matt, his big redirect was because of a goldfish.
So we were playing with this stuff, and I had a knee reconstruction, and the next day she won a goldfish at the county fair. This is what started the farm, seriously. This is what started us on a large scale. So here we have this goldfish in a glass pitcher on the island over there, and every day I'd watch her dump out a little water and add a little new water. And I'm like, light bulb, we have these dwarf citrus trees. I remember reading somewhere a long time ago that fish waste water is good for plants. So we made everything in this room edible. My wife, again, being very forgiving, we started dumping the fish waste water on those plants, and they started doing great. So I'm like, hey, Christy, we have to clean up the utility room, and it's got to be done today. She's like, why? Well, I'm on my way to Menards to buy some industrial racking because we have 100 tilapia being overnighted via air freight from Nebraska. That wasn't the same reaction I got. So yeah, this ended up being an experimental aquaponics area, and we made the entire little thing edible over the course of just several weeks. So the one area we couldn't make edible was this little knee wall here, just didn't get enough sun. So I ordered a mushroom kit off the internet. There was only a couple companies at that time doing it, and it did not work well at all. So I spent the bulk of my recovery doing nothing but research on different types of mushroom cultivation, things like that. Then we started experimenting with that, and then it kind of snowballed and took everything over at this point.
You're listening to The Call of the Wild. This week, I'm talking to Matt Ratliff from Fort Ripley, Minnesota. They've been in business now for about 8 years. When you drive into their farm, you see a large hoop house, a greenhouse, and lots of logs stacked everywhere. Their efforts did not yield immediate results, however.
So what's interesting is there is so much misinformation out there. There really is, as far as cultivating mushrooms in different ways. One person will tell you to do this, the other person will tell you don't do this. And when we started this on a large scale, we don't know who to believe, who to trust, or what to do. So we literally did everything and tracked all the results. So what's interesting is as you drive out of here, if you look behind the garage over here, you'll actually see an entire row of logs that lines most of the property all the way out of failed experiments. And I wouldn't say all failed experiments, but learning experiences, we'll put it that way.
From all those learning experiences came the farm they operate today. They've cultivated over 40 kinds of mushrooms from all over the world. They have exotic names like shiitake, blue oyster, lion's mane. The farm supplies local stores and restaurants and provides starter kits and logs for greenhouses. Independent sales reps keep their product on the move. They also have a line of products for home gardeners like Jamie and I.
Every product's a bit different. It depends on what level of work you want to do and your level of patience. So the bags, we actually trademarked for our indoor kits the term instant gratification in a bag. It's for high-strung, squirrely people like me. I want my mushrooms now. As with the log-based products, we've actually trademarked the term the neglectable perennial.
Matt does a lot of fairs and festivals with his products. In fact, we met him at Back to Basics in Pine River. On the day we met at his place, his dining room table was loaded with these large bags. An indoor kit for growing mushrooms.
We have a pretty diverse product line, not just with species of mushrooms, but how they can be cultivated. So with the indoor kit you're looking at here, we actually start off with straw, believe it or not. So we're using a organic vegetative byproduct, ultra-pasteurizing it, allowing it to cool, introducing that mycelium, that vegetative cutting, and turning an otherwise useless product into an additional food source.
Matt shows me one of the shiitake logs that he has brought in to warm up. Then they will shock the log to tell it to produce.
This is every gardener's dream. Yeah, literally just stand the log up outside. I'm sorry, stand the log upright outside in full shade where it can get rained and snowed on.
Matt is like a mushroom encyclopedia. He could talk for hours on the science and practice of growing.
There's so little information, and it's just becoming more and more available to the general public. I mean, the fungus is like the forgotten kingdom of organisms on our planet. It really is.
With the Call of the Wild, I'm Milt Lee.